I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm trying to plug in my watch, actually. There's no outlets that are within arm's length here. So I'll have to wait to the next break to do that. But yes, here I am, Danielle McCartan, right back with you here on The Fan. As you heard, Joe Girardi would be my pick to become manager of the New York Mets. And for many different reasons. I just went through them. You can go back and listen. And I also posted a video as well on most channels. I didn't do all of them just yet, but I will. I do them on the breaks. But there are a couple names that I've heard mentioned as, you know, potentials in for the Mets to hire as their new manager. Now, also, not to mention the fact that As this comes to me, back in April, when I thought that Mendoza was dead meat, back in April, the Phillies had a manager that was dead meat. They replaced him with a manager that had Major League Baseball experience as a player and as a manager, of course, Don Mattingly. The Phillies have been one of, if not the hottest teams in baseball since then. So that just goes to show you that if the right change was made early enough, well, then maybe the Mets wouldn't be in this spot. But by essentially saying this is going to be our guy for the rest of the year, they're waving the white flag. The Mets are waving the white flag. Well, they'll wait to make a change in the next break, for the next season, winter break. But I heard some names that I just can't get behind. Eduardo Alfonso. Stop it. I mean, Alfonso's last managerial stop, 2022, the Ferry Hawks. He had a record of 48 wins and 84 losses. He was not rehired by the Staten Island Ferry Hawks the next season. Pass. Another name that I've heard, Carlos Beltran. Well, Carlos Beltran, I'd have to say, did not manage a single game for the Mets after he was hired. And at the time, he said in a statement, "I couldn't let myself be a distraction for the team. I wish the entire organization success in the future." Guess what? It's 2026, and he would still be a distraction. I mean, Beltran was the ringleader, the godfather-type person in that clubhouse during that Astros cheating scandal. And he told the Astros, when they hired him in his role, that the team's sign-stealing methods were, quote, behind the times. Is he serious? And I guess how he got the Godfather moniker, a player, unnamed player, came out and said that Beltran ignored the protest of some coaches and some teammates to stop it, to knock it off. That person said he disregarded it and steamrolled everybody. And this is a great point. He said, this unnamed player of the Astros, the whole cheating thing. He said, "Where do you go if you're a young, impressionable player with the Astros and this guy says, we're doing this? What do you do?" And I thought that was a fantastic question. How do you stand up to a guy like that, who's telling you what to do? You don't. So to me, I think that's the set precedent for a terrible culture, terrible cheating culture. And I just want the Mets to have no part of it. Like, no drama. I am so anti-drama in every facet of my life that I wouldn't want this for the Mets. Not at all. Knowing how intimately he was involved in orchestrating that cheating scandal, I wouldn't want the same for the Mets. Every time they go on a winning streak, oh, are they cheating? Every time you hear a bang coming from the dugout, oh, no, that was just whatever. That wasn't a garbage can. Like, would the Mets be taken seriously? I don't know. And another name, I heard somebody say, well, this is Alex Cora's job to lose. Well, Alex Cora is in the same boat. Dude can't win unless he's cheating. Go back to the Astros. His role was bench coach. And as a bench coach, you've got this special, like, in-between, liaison-like position between the players and the manager. Alex Cora was suspended by the league for his conduct relating to the garbage can nonsense. Suspended, meaning guilty, a cheater. You go to what he did with the Red Sox. Well, Cora's Red Sox used their video replay room to illegally steal signs from opposing pitchers and catchers during that 2018 World Series championship season. The replay operator was fired, boom, out of a job. The team had to forfeit draft picks. Like, do you really want that blowback and that shame onto the Mets? Not me. Oh, and as a player, oh, yes, Cora, that 2007 World Series winning season. Oh, yeah, that one. Do you know what Cora did to help that Boston team win? Nothing. He had one plate appearance, one in that World Series. And I know that's more than me, and it's probably more than you. I don't ever want to assume, but, you know, that's no means, by no means, a justification as a managerial candidate to the crowd that says, well, but he led the Red Sox to a World Series as a player too. One plate appearance. Stop it. Then there's the guy who I think the Mets are going to go with. Not my guy. He's too boisterous. He'll never get the job with David Stearns at the helm. But if the Mets plan on keeping David Stearns, this is the guy. He's got playing experience. He's managed the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic. But he has no major league managerial experience, which, no doubt, is something David Stearns is salivating over. Because he can groom Albert Pujols, who said himself, I still have a lot to learn. So he would be uber dependent on David Stearns. And David Stearns would have job security because of it. He would love that. And most important for the Mets, Albert Pujols does have that relationship with Juan Soto, who at the moment, it looks like he'll be booking it out of here at the moment at his juncture too. But you placate him with Pujols, you play ball, you keep him around. I think it's easy math. And Pujols is already speaking small market Stearns' language. This is a clip from Friday night's Baseball Tonight, which was basically a job interview right there on MLB Network.
And once with Spain, that's always huge. You have the talent and the feel, although, you know, this year hasn't been great for them because the injuries. You had to, you know, when they built this ball club into the offseason, into the spring training, they would never thought they were going to have so many injuries like this. And yeah, you look at that record and you say, well, why they're playing so poorly is because the guy that they have brought in, you know, haven't been healthy in the field. So I think when you look at the talent, you know, that they had some good pieces right there that you kind of look at it around and say, wow, why it hasn't worked out? I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Did you hear it? He mentioned, these are quotes, the talent, good pieces, on a roster compiled by Boy Genius. Okay. Healthy in the field, the injuries. Well, that sounds familiar. Every time Stearns has a mic in front of his mouth, he cites injuries. So I think that Pujols and Stearns would be a perfect marriage, perfect union, more misery for the Mets. Let's go to Mario in Long Beach.
Hello.
Ciao, Mario.
Ciao, how are you?
Choking on nothing. How are you?
Good, good. Did you get a chance to talk to Becky Hammon yet, or that hasn't happened?
She answered it. I didn't get a chance. She answered it.
It still was very poor, the way she answered, I thought, you know?
Yeah, but I just wish that they held the feet of the other people to the fire as well.
Well, I think they do, though. I don't really agree with that, Danielle. If you really look at what everybody else said, for example, I heard Draymond Green come up and criticize Becky Hammond. He said, I'm a four-time champion. And I said he couldn't do it. And I went to his face and said, apologize, said I was wrong. Why can't she do the same?
Yeah, I'm looking for a Brian Windhorse. Did he apologize?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did also, yeah. And Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, same thing.
Yeah, and
they're Boston Celtics.
Yeah, I know. But the other thing too is like she's paid for her opinion. Like she gave her opinion, and that was it. And she did say the opinion was wrong. So got to take it for what it's worth.
Did you see it when she made the opinion?
I rewatched the clip about last week or the week before. Yeah,
because she even like the look on her face was arrogant. Like she said, "Oh, he's too small," just like that, and pushed him aside. He's too small.
Yeah.
He said, "He's too small."
I don't know. I just think that the anger pointed in this direction should be equally pointed everywhere else. That's all.
But like I'm saying, everybody else apologized.
But
she didn't apologize. She just said, I'm wrong. She did not apologize.
But
she said,
if I have a take, and I have a take about, let's say, David Stearns, like all night that we've been doing, it's like, it's my job to give an opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to apologize to the guy. I'll say, look, I was wrong about you. You put a World Series winner out there. I was wrong. But I'm not going to say, I'm sorry. I wouldn't say those words either. And I don't know I don't know how many.
Why would everybody else do it?
I would be curious to see the exact quotes and what these people have said, apologize.
I heard all of them apologize. I heard exactly what they said. Why don't you look it up, watch on YouTube, and we'll talk about it next week,
next Saturday. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When you get a chance, can you look at, do you remember when Kyrie Irving, and they claimed that Giannis tripped him with the Nets, when they said it was a dirty play? I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, God. I just looked it up just to refresh my memory. June 13th, 2021, Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinals.
When you get a chance, could you look at it and tell me, do you think it's dirty? Because I don't think it's dirty, and there's a bunch of people that think it's dirty.
I got two ads to work through now. I can't pay for the unadded one, but I'll load it up. I'll watch it right now. Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Durant. He takes like Giannis. Yeah. So it's basically saying, I guess the thing is, he's going up for like what you would call like a jump stop.
Right in the lane.
Yeah, I can't tell. Here it is, different angle. So this would be a closeout foul. It would have been a closeout foul. Like he didn't give him the proper landing space. Giannis did.
No, I know that he didn't, but it wasn't dirty because his back was to him, so he didn't even know that his feet were going to be in the way where he was going to land.
Yeah, I don't think
if
it was dirty.
He threw it on purpose.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was a dirty move. He tried to box out is what it looks like. He tried to box him out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Giannis is not a dirty player.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just an accident.
Like, if you look at Embiid, Embiid is dirty play. Draymond Green's a dirty play.
No doubt.
Right?
Wembanyama, the king of them all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know why it's funny? You know why I ask you that question? Because out of all the people I hear speaking about this, the only people who think it's dirty are the guys people that that are Brooklyn Nets fans. They think it's dirty.
Yeah.
Anybody that wasn't a Brooklyn Nets fan, it's kind of funny because it's a little skewed, a little bit,
Still, as a Nets fan, I don't understand how you can stick up for Kyrie Irving and that crew that absolutely took a nuclear bomb to that team, too. They're still trying to recover. How can you stick up for him? I don't get it. He was on your team for five seconds.
Exactly. And Mr. Brian, I guess it bothers me a little bit when we talk about the thing, you're too small and all that, because I'm a small guy and I worked really hard and I went to the gym and I started bodybuilding and I got in really, really good shape. And people used to say, oh, you take steroids, you do that. No, I worked very hard for many years and I hate when people stereotype somebody. And I think that's what bothers me. So when you stereotype, he's too small, and it's especially, Danielle, when he blew it away with 45 to end it, this one that he just that he just won, he blew it away, and he put up some incredible like records that are all time.
I was just gonna say, as you were talking, going back to the Becky Hammon thing, like, she was a small guard too. She was undersized as well, so. I don't know if she was trying to speak from experience. It came out wrong. I don't really know. But she, too, was undersized as a guard. Quote, unquote, undersized.
Yeah. She was too. But, I mean, the most amazing, really, stat is that in fourth quarters of final series, right, in fourth quarter of final series, the players that have scored the most points in fourth quarters of final series, average per game. Number one is Shaq at 11.5. Number two is Brunson, 11.2 per game. And number three is Steph Curry at 10.8. Huh. But what's amazing about that is both Steph Curry and Shaq, they made six finals and they never went higher than that number that they had.
Yeah.
Brunson did it in one. He did it in one.
Yeah. I know. That's wild. It is. And also, too, the height disparity, too, between one versus the other two. You can't discount that either.
No. Right now, there's a big – it's not – it wouldn't be out of line. And what do you think to argue that right now? I think Brunson's the best player in all of basketball right now at this point with what he did this year. I would not take anybody – over Brunson right now for the Knicks.
If you were to build a team from the ground up.
No. Right now, if I want to win right now for the next couple of years, would I trade Brunson for anybody in the NBA?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, no.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know if I would do it either. Just because he has led this team and they have just gelled. I mean, these are five guys that played together. The whole team plays together. Alvarado's back. Like, I wouldn't make any changes. Not at all.
Let me ask you one last question. Do you have 30 more seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is my question. I don't understand why people are biased, though. It seems like people are biased against him, and I don't know why. For example, Jay Williams,
Wright.
I think the guy.
Yep.
Yeah, no, not Wright. Jay Williams, the guard who played for Duke. I guess he said he's a commentator now.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I would take Cade Cunningham right now. Mm-hmm. Now, Cade Cunningham's going to be a great player. Cade Cunningham he's been in the league 5 years. So let's go with Brunson 4 years with the Knicks. Mm-hmm. In 4 years, Cade Cunningham won one series in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Brunson won 11. Okay?
Yeah, and
Brunson
a championship.
Brunson has all these records.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brunson has all these records, and Cade, all these records, including what he's done, too, that's nobody ever done before in the playoffs, is four consecutive 40-point games with at least five assists. Mm-hmm. Guess how many people have done that? Nobody but him.
Yeah.
He did that against Philly, like 2 years ago. And so I don't know how you could say Cade Cunningham. That's a ridiculous thing. Listen, you can have opinions, but you have to have a basis of fact. There's
Correct.
No basis of fact on that.
Correct,
you know?
Yes.
Uh-huh. There's not zero. Yeah, and what Cade Cunningham did? He's got one record. Most turnovers in the first three games of the playoffs, 24.
Yeah, you got
it. Nice talk to you. Have a good one.
Marty.
What are you on again?
July 4th, after the Yankee game, a little earlier. So.
I'll talk to you on the 4th. Take care.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, heart-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, he's certainly got him pegged. I mean, look, what I was going to say is if you're building a basketball team from the ground up, like right now, which player in the NBA would you take on your team? Think of in the schoolyard. You get all these players standing in front of you. You're the captain of your team. Who are you picking first? I don't know if you can ignore Jalen Brunson in that situation. I think I'd take him as long as I can pair him with a cat-type player. Karl-Anthony Towns, of course. 888-808-1019 because they were just absolutely dynamite. Lights out. Lights out. All right, let's go to Ed in Mohegan. Hey, Ed.
Good morning, Danielle. Let me tell you something. People with the apology thing should look up what the word actually means. It says a regretful acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
It's, where's the regret? Now, if you hit somebody, if you get pulled over for DUI, that's you need an apology for that. Giving your opinion, no. You could admit that you were wrong.
She did.
But what's with the apology?
I don't know. Everybody
wants an apology. Look the word up, understand what you want, and understand that she doesn't have to apologize for anything. It was an opinion.
Exactly.
You know what? What about... What?
I said exactly. She's paid to give her opinion on ESPN. She gave her opinion. That's it.
Did the people who thought that Muggsy Bogues and Darren Sproles wouldn't succeed because they're too small need to apologize?
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's what. And you know what? I'm sure there's a lot of players who can't play the sport because they're too small. That's it. I mean, understand what you're talking about. The apology in the 21st century is absolutely ridiculous. You know what I haven't heard people talk about yet?
What's that?
The new Women's Baseball League next month. I mean, you got four teams. They never gave them any names. They're just going by the city they play in.
Yeah.
But they are playing. First time in 50-some-odd years, or longer than that, I think.
Yeah, I mean...
It's the same league that they had in the movie. It's going to be Boston, New York, L.A., and San Francisco. They're going to have a worldwide draft, and they're all going to play in Springfield, like the original teams did.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to watch them yet. They haven't even chosen a streaming service yet, but it is going to be out there.
I know. I know they did the draft and all. I feel like the team...
I don't think they have done it yet.
I thought they did.
I could be wrong. I don't know. It's hard to find information on
2025 drafted players. Yes.
But the thing is, I think it's okay. Well, look, I think it could be an interesting watch. I don't know how they're going to actually find a champion. They're going to play for about 5 weeks, four teams, no team names.
Which,
that's fine.
I don't like that. How do you call a team New York if they're playing all their home games in Illinois? Like, I don't get that.
Look, you know what? The Giants, I mean, come on. I get it. They should have... We talked about this about 2 years ago. We talked about a women's baseball league, and now they have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of things they could do differently.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Baby steps. Let's see what happens.
Yeah,
I'm just interested to see. You know, it's like the World Baseball Classic. I mean, how popular was that when it first started out? This is going to be a yearly thing. It's for 5 weeks out of the season. And it's going to be baseball. It's not softball. It's baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering, too, as you know, I dropped softball to coach flag football. But as a former softball coach, I'm wondering now, how does that affect, you know, kids? Do they still continue? Because they are vastly different. I've played both. They are very different. Baseball and softball are very different. Although they look the same, the rules are similar. I'm wondering what that looks like at a youth level now. Like, do you just abandon softball altogether and tell all the girls they have to start playing baseball? Like, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like.
If it becomes popular, it might be one of those groundbreaking things. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is two different sports. You're right.
Yeah.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, but look, I'm curious. I want to watch. And I think the way the World Baseball Classic was received this year, I think you can. I think this could become something, especially for teams, you know, for fans of teams that aren't playing well, like Mets fans. Why not? Seriously, you're in August. Your team's once again. And by the way, what is Albert Pujols going to do?
He's going to be
somebody else. Hasn't seriously.
Oh yes, man. That's what he's going to do. Yes, man.
I feel bad for the team. I feel bad for, you know, the Carlos. But you know what? Good for him. He's going to land somewhere. Because how are you supposed to coach that?
Do you
realize that when Severino, who they let go, has a better record and a lower ERA than anyone on that team?
That's when you know.
I mean, how are you supposed to coach that?
That's terrible. I know. And that's
embarrassing.
It is. And Ed, thanks for the phone call there. And that, again, it's... You know, as a manager, as a coach, you're only able to coach what you're given. David Stearns did not do any favors for Carlos Mendoza. To your point, how do you coach that? How do you get results out of that? How do you? because this team is like, it's like a JV team. Played in the big city, it's like a JV team. And David Stearns woefully, woefully underprepared this Mets team for Major League Baseball. I mean, all like pitching? Does he not know how to evaluate pitching? Does he need to hire someone that can help him do that? Like the Mets have a glaringly obvious need for pitching throughout his tenure. Has he adequately addressed it? No. Why are all these players playing out of position on the New York Mets? I don't know. Why is the bottom half of that lineup a black hole? I don't know. All of these questions David Stearns needs to answer. Can't. 888-808-1019. We're talking about potential next managers for the New York Mets as well. Let's go to Jim in Long Island. What's up, Jim?
Got a little jingle that I wrote for the Mets. I'd like to sing it to you guys today. Ready?
Is it clean?
It's clean.
All right,
and
go
it's
ahead.
Called the WFAN Subterranean Homesick Blues, and it goes something like this.
Subterranean? Underwater?
Give me a mountain with nothing to do. Play me my trumpet instead of that boo. No squirrel, find Nemo. Where is my crew? Where is Alonzo? Where is my dew?
Bear. Polar bear.
Where is he?
He's an Oriole now.
You know, the one thing, the worst move the Mets ever made, giving up a Hall of Famer. Okay, for 5 years, for $155, that's the craziest deal.
Yep.
And what do you think about that? I'm going to hang up and listen to you. Bye-bye.
Jim, thanks for the jingle there at 4:30 in the morning. Could tell you worked hard on it. Appreciate that. And I like the squirrel reference as well, obviously, that being Jeff McNeil. The song, cutting to the core of where is the core? What happened to the team that you knew so well? I get it. In the same way that Mets fans at the game are chanting Pete Alonso, not because they love Pete Alonso and they miss his memory. No. It's because it's a direct statement, adjudication on the fact that David Stearns absolutely sucks as the general manager of this team. There's more to that simple chant of Pete Alonso. Whereas this general manager absolutely took a nuclear bomb to this team and cannot recover from it. You can't recover from that. That is a fireable offense, if you're asking me. But I don't need much reason to, issue a pink slip to David Stearns. I've been on David Stearns since it was February 18th. I keep all my notes. February 18th, 2024, 5 months after it was officially announced. Press conference was a month later. So even, 4 months, I was on to this guy. I saw right through it. I mean, this is a woefully non-competitive team. Non-competitive. That David Stearns has put out there. He has all this money to work with. Can't seem to find out how to work with it. $37 million wrapped up in players that are no longer on the team. Paid to go away from the team. That's unacceptable. And at what point does Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, put his foot down and say, hey, look, what are we doing here? You're going to need to have to explain this. At what point, like, what general manager in their right mind looks at Frankie Montas, injured, like, all the time, and says, you know what, Frankie Montas? I'm going to give you $17 million a year to come play for the Mets. Moronic. How about Luis Robert Jr., also oft injured? He says, David Stearns, hey, I'm going to give you $22 million to come and be a Met. Of course you're jumping at that. Marcus Semien, he took on that contract, $24 million a year for Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien, $24 million a year. He's 35. And they've got him through his age 36 season at $24 million. And his age 37 season at $24 million. Like, You can have all the money in the world, but unless you know how to spend it properly, you're going to be bottom of the barrel, like the Mets are, with the second highest payroll in baseball. That math is not mathing to me. And Steve Cohen better be asking questions, because there's been a lot of turnover under his tenure, as owner of this team, at the coach, the manager's spot, and the general manager's spot. Maybe he just doesn't have it in him to be able to orchestrate a winning team here in New York City, winning baseball team here in New York City. Maybe. And where has he been? Where are you, Steve Cohen? 888-808-1019. My name is Danielle McCartan. Wrapping up strong here. And I think filling this position with an interim guy is a big mistake. Unless, of course, this. Don't move a muscle. I'm Danielle McCartan. Welcome back into
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
UFAN, my name is Danielle McCartan. We'll get right back into the fact that the Mets are a rudderless ship from now through the end of the season. There are 79 games remaining in this season of just total garbage baseball. And why is that? Well, the Mets had an opportunity to rip a page out of the Phillies playbook. Yes, the Phillies playbook. And the Mets had an opportunity to hire a manager that has Major League Baseball pedigree and prior managerial experience and is available now, then, still. And ever since Don Mattingly stepped in with the Phillies, they are one of the hottest teams in baseball. Their record, 37 wins to 18 losses under Mattingly. Okay? Since he has become the manager, they have, I guess, I don't want to use the word rocketed, but they have moved up in the NL East. They are second in the division. They believe, I could check it again, but I believe they hold, I'll check it to make sure, the top wild card. Let's see, let's double check it. Yeah, they still do. They're two games up. So they have the top wild card, second in the division. And I'm wondering, because the Mets it was a 12-game skid at and around the same time this was going on with the Phillies, and they dumped their manager. They picked Mattingly up. And, you know, he was on their bench, but they chose him to lead them. And I'm sitting there going, well, why couldn't Small Market Stearns see this at the time this was happening? I mean, you know, many of us, including myself, were calling for Mendoza to go then. So why couldn't Stearns look at this, look around, use his eyeballs, and replicate it? I want you to come close. Turn me up. Let me tell you something. You want to know why not? Do you know what the main difference between the Mets and the Phillies is? Well, let me tell you. The Phillies have an actual major league roster throughout and in every facet of the squad. They can be jump-started by a Mattingly type in-season, early season managerial change. The Mets do not and cannot. Mets have three good hitters. They've got a defense composed of players that are all playing out of position, basically. They have pitchers that can't get through major league lineups. And they have an entire roster of players that has regressed since the day they put ink to paper and arrived here. And that's it. And the front office, coupled with ownership, of the Mets, really, if they really believed in the talent on this roster like they say they do, they would have ripped a page out of Philadelphia's book in April. And even now, if not April, even now. But they did not, because they know they cannot experience the same turnaround with the roster that Small Market Stearns has assembled in Queens. Not this year. And how do I know? Again, if they really believed in the talent on this roster, they would have gone out and they would have gotten themselves a real manager like the Phillies did. I would say enjoy the Andy Green experiment into the fall. White flag it. It's over. Terrible. 888-808-1019. The Mets have given up. And your phone calls, again, at 888-808-1019. If you can't call for whatever reason, it's at Coach MCCARTAN on your favorite social media platform. I'm on all of them. All right, here we go. Let's go to Hector in the Bronx. Hi, Hector.
Hey, Daniel. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a while since I spoke to you. Yes. But I had to call in because I got a Yankee point, but I'm going to get my Mets point first chime into this managerial thing. Mm-hmm. I think, how about somebody like Francisco Cervelli? I think former catchers have historically been good managers in baseball.
Cause I agree.
Both sides of the field.
Yes.
And I think he did extremely well with the Italian team.
He did.
For the WBC. Yeah. And I think he might be a good choice, and he might be looking for a job in the MLB and a chance at being, you know, a manager in baseball. So I think that'll be a good choice. I know Pujols, they say they throw Pujols around because he also managed pretty well for Team DR. But I think, like I said, being a catcher, I like Cervelli better for that for you guys.
Yeah, I love Mets fans. And he's a World Series winning catcher. Oh, by the way, I agree with you. And I said it before, I think catchers make the best managers because they understand defensive alignments, all that stuff. And then they also understand the game within a game between the pitcher and the catcher.
Exactly.
So,
absolutely.
I'd be open to checking out Francisco Cervelli. I would.
Yeah, why not? And my Yankee point is...
Hector, just to go back. Because Team Italy, Squadra Italia, they really actually overachieved. They overperformed in that World Baseball Classic. And, you know, looked at how did that happen? Well, often the answer is the manager. So, I'd be interested.
Yep. And they had two catchers as a manager, by the way. Remember, Posada was over there with him.
That's right. Yes. And Posada, and there was another Yankee. Who was it? Posada and...
I forgot the other Yankee. But if Boone don't work out, I would love to say Posada. That's why I didn't offer him to the Mets.
This is going to bug me. Hold on. I'll walk up here. Posada, Cervelli. Oh, and Cervelli. Oh, he was the other one. That's right. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
All right.
Cool. It's been almost 24 hours I've been awake. I'm sorry about that. Brain fart.
No, hey, same here. I'm driving a truck all night, so I can feel you.
Be careful.
So now my Yankee point real quick. Well, besides us needing a catcher, I would say is our main point because, you know, having 8 RBIs out of a catcher for 3 months, even though he missed a couple weeks, is not acceptable.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Even for a number 9 hitter.
It's just terrible.
The only thing is can you see? It's hard to trade. That's where we're going, right? It's hard to trade in season for a catcher because, you know, the hitting's one thing, but like the intimate knowledge of each and every one of the pitchers mid season thrown in, it's tough. It's not easy. It's not saying it can't be done, but it's not easy.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And I kind of forgot my frame of thought, so I forgot my other point. So I'm going to leave it like that. You have a great evening. Okay, morning.
Yeah, Hector.
I appreciate you.
That's the time warp of this time, too, Hector. Drive safe. I understand the brain fart. It'll come to you. As soon as you hang up, it'll come to you. I know it.
Of course it will.
All right, bye. Hector. Drive safe. Yeah, that's the thing. Right now, he's saying, this was it. Right now, I guarantee you he's saying that. It's just comes with the territory, right? Being up for almost 24 hours, you know. I tend to when I'm on the drive home now, obviously to not fall asleep at the wheel. Obviously, I tend to crack the window, you know, and I put on songs that I can like belt out on the radio all the way home. Because if you're singing out loud, there's no way you're falling asleep. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. I got to tell you about the birds that have been swarming in my backyard, too. That's a story for maybe later. Let's see if we have time. Let's go to Don in Brooklyn first. Hey, Don. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Coach. A couple of years ago, less than 10 years ago, we had a team in New York that had 10 wins. You know what team that was?
Oh, 10 wins? Well, it can't be baseball.
So it was the New York Knicks.
Okay, because I'm going through like football. Like, wait a second, the Jets and Giants.
You don't have to go through. It was the Knicks.
Okay.
And now the Knicks in 7 years became champions.
Yeah.
You talked about in a very negative ways your entire show. You talked about everybody on the Mets who's been terrible, mm-hmm. whereas the availability of, let's start with Stanton, mm-hmm. is terrible.
I don't know the point we're trying to make here, because the Yankees are still afloat, whereas the Mets are one of the worst teams in the league.
But they're not afloat because of Stanton. They're paying Stanton X amount of millions of dollars, and he's not afloat.
He delivers in the postseason, where the Mets can't even get there.
What did he do last postseason? Look it up.
He's always a threat in the postseason. Just having his bat in the lineup.
What did the team do in the last postseason with him present in the
Yankees went to the World Series and lost.
And what did he do?
I don't know what we're trying to do here. The season they went to the World Series, he hit .273 with 7 home runs in that postseason.
And that was not last year. That was the year before.
You're really confusing me, man. I don't know what the point we're trying to make here.
Okay, so what I'm saying to you is there was an opportunity, and the opportunity is to think in terms of what can we do moving forward as opposed to jumping up and down on the body or picking out an experience that will show some positivity.
For the Yankees, for the Mets, which team are we talking about?
I this is a large city. There were 2 million people in tens this last week watching a 1 mile parade.
Actually, it was a 12 to 15 block parade, and 2 million people did not get to witness the parade because the mayor didn't make it long enough. But go ahead.
Well, give me a number, and your number is right because your number is always right. All right, so there were people who were in a parade. 10 years ago, that team had 17 wins.
What?
This team, 2 years ago, was in the championship series. Whatever they did to fall apart, they fell apart. They made a decision that they didn't win with Nimmo. They didn't win with anybody,
Don, here's the difference. And in a long-winded way, I think you're getting to this point. I think we're finally arriving at the point. The point is the Knicks hired Leon Rose, and they were able to overcome. They picked, finally, the owner picked the right guy to construct this team and lead it to the promised land. The difference between the Knicks and the Mets, I think, is where we're going with this. The difference between the Knicks and the Mets is that the Mets and that owner still has not found the right guy to construct the team. David Stearns is not the right man. Fire him.
That is not the difference. That is not the difference.
But what?
That is not the difference.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you think David Stearns is the right man to construct the Mets into World Series winning team?
You know, I would.
Yes or no? Hello?
On a team that has had
such
little success, I have to say no.
No, exactly. But it's the same thing. Hold on a second. People watch The View to yell, have people yelling over. People don't listen to my show for that. I'll put you on hold. I'll come back to you. They're parallel. The Knicks couldn't find the right guy. The owner of the Knicks finally found the right guy. They won a championship. The Mets can't find the right guy. The owner of the Mets still can't find the right guy. With David Stearns, they will not win a championship. Go ahead, Don. You there? You're off hold. Yeah. Go ahead.
So what was said was, under no circumstance would the Knicks win with Dolan.
Now we're turning this into an ownership thing. You're talking about the Knicks, you're talking about the Mets, you're talking about Giancarlo Stanton, 10 wins this.
You just told me Rose.
Don, I told you that finally this owner found the right guy to construct the team. That's what I said.
When did Steinbrenner do that?
You know what, Don? Enough. I can't. I'm trying to keep up with you. I deal with middle schoolers all day, and I can keep up with them, okay? I can keep up with middle schoolers on a daily basis, three of them talking to me at once. I can't understand what the hell you're talking about. You asked me 10 wins this. You didn't give me any sort of frame of reference. I'm thinking, is it can't be baseball? Is it football? Okay. Oh, the answer's the Knicks. Oh, God. 10 years ago, the Knicks. Okay. Now, I thought you were going to where you were going to say, can the Mets put it together with what they got? The answer is no. But then you started talking about Giancarlo Stanton and his stats in the postseason, and I don't know what the hell you're talking about. When have the Yankees put together a guy in charge that can make the right decision? I don't know. Can I introduce you to Brian Cashman, who has won many World Series with this Yankee team? In many different roles and avenues? My God, how do we end on this today? It's like a never-ending riddle that had no answer, Don. Holy, I can't. My hope, yes, I am negative. You use the word negative. There is no positive with this Mets team. They scapegoated. First of all, last year, they scapegoated the entire coaching staff. This year, they scapegoated the manager. Next that needs to go is the general manager. And if they don't do it, and if they allow him to choose the next manager of this team, they get everything they deserve. He does not know how to spend money. He does not know, you know, there's no way to quantify the heart and hustle of those guys that he just chow said goodbye to and kicked out the door. There's no number that quantifies. There's no Excel spreadsheet that quantifies leadership, heart, hustle. This guy is he's got his calculator, and none of it adds up. None of it adds up. So until he finds his job, you know, his butt on the unemployment line, this team will not succeed. And if that's the point you were trying to get me to say, well, there it is for you. Loud and clear and very clear and specific. The Knicks finally got their guy. The Mets can. They just haven't yet. Steve Cohen has not found the guy yet. And the Mets in 2025 were oh so close with that lineup and that core of players. They had no pitching. And they had a general manager that neglected. That's the word I'm looking for. Neglected the pitching staff of this team. Whether he can't, I don't know if he can't, what's that called? A scout pitching? Maybe he doesn't know how to do that. Maybe it's that he's throwing these niblet contracts at these guys, expecting them to, these big name guys to bite. It's not happening. I point to Fried and the Yankees, 8 years. When was the last time this guy has ever offered a pitcher an eight-year deal? Never. This David Stearns is the number one reason the Mets are where they are. Number one. And I was very patient with you, Don. Very. And again, I deal with middle schoolers on a daily basis. Not anymore. Thank the Lord for the summer, but maybe longer. I don't know. Hopefully. But I follow them much clearer. Sixth graders than I follow you, Don. I don't know what that was. Trying to back me into a corner, possibly. I don't know. But Steve Cohen can't find the right guy. Until he does, this team is just going to circle the drain. Like it currently is. Ray told me I held on longer than most would have. I can't. And on that note, I can't. Can't handle this. I can't. Well, thanks to all the callers, even you, Don. And, always make it interesting. I can't have done this show without you calling in, being part of it as well. You know I love coming here and I love talking with you. So, if you missed any portion of today's show, you're just waking up and you want to go back, select the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. 1 a.m. was the start time. Great job to Ray Jarvis behind the glass. And I'll see you again. It's July 4th. It's a Saturday, July 4th, right after our Yankees coverage. Danielle in the daytime, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. somewhat. Danielle at dinner time? I don't know. I like alliteration. But until then, it's at Coach MCCARTAN on your favorite social media platform, whatever it is. We'll keep that conversation going until then. Until then, July 4th. See you then.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN. Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.